This is In the News for November 29th, 2005. I'm Scott Verguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. The first story today is from Interpress Service News Agency at ipsnews.net, written by Joyce Malama. Kenyans have decisively rejected a proposed constitution that was put to a referendum. A dejected President Mwai Kibaki said in a televised address Tuesday, quote, "This is a giant step towards enhancing democracy. My government will respect the verdict of the people," end quote. According to figures released by the Electoral Commission of Kenya, well over 3 million people voted against the new constitution, or 57% of those who cast ballots, while 43% voted for it. Kibaki and his National Alliance Party of Kenya, or NAK, N-A-K, had pushed for approval of the constitution, prompting a split in the ruling National Rainbow Coalition. Roads and Public Works Minister Raila Odinga, head of the Liberal Democratic Party, lobbied for a no vote in Monday's poll, teaming up with the opposition Kenyan African National Union to convince citizens to reject the document. Those supporting the constitution adopted the banana as their symbol, while those opposed to it used the orange, this to assist illiterate Kenyans to cast their ballots. Opponents of the proposed constitution claimed that it gave too much power to the head of state, and they demanded a return to an earlier draft which shared executive authority between the president and the newly created post of prime minister. This earlier version is referred to as the quote-unquote Bomas draft, in reference to Bomas of Kenya, a cultural venue on the outskirts of the capital, Nairobi. Here, the National Constitutional Conference, comprising delegates from government and civil society, held talks during 2003 and 2004 on what form the country's new constitution should take. Their talks followed nationwide consultations by the Constitution of Kenya Review Commission, appointed in 2000 to gather the views of Kenyans on what measures they wish to see in their new constitution. The commission reported that citizens wanted a reduction in presidential power, apparently in reaction to abuses under former heads of state Daniel Arap Moi and Jomo Kenyatta. The version of the constitution that was put to voters Monday emerged in July this year when NAK parliamentarians changed the Bomas draft to maintain strong presidential powers and to stipulate a non-executive prime minister who would be appointed by the head of state. Monday's vote took place largely without incident, in marked contrast to the campaign for the referendum, which claimed 8 lives. Again, that was from Interpress Service News Agency at ipsnews.net. There's more on this story there, as well as other articles of interest. The next story is from Reuters, taken from Common Dreams News Center at www.commondreams.org. This is written by Mark Trevelyan. Mark. EU states that held CIA jails could face sanctions. This is out of Berlin. Any European Union state that secretly hosted a CIA prison faces loss of its voting rights, and Washington should punish any violations that occurred, an EU commissioner said on Monday. Franco Frattini, Commissioner for Justice, Freedom, and Security, said that under EU law, if reports of secret CIA jails were true, states would face, quote, serious consequences, including the suspension of the right to vote in the council, end quote. Frattini told a news conference he would be obliged by EU treaties to recommend the suspension to the Council, which brings together ministers of the 25 member countries and is the bloc's main decision-making body. The comments were his most explicit to date on the implications for any country found to have hosted a secret CIA facility for interrogating terrorism suspects. A suspension of voting rights for a member country would take the EU into an uncharted territory. It would require the unanimous backing of all the other member states, plus the approval of the European Parliament, said an EU source familiar with the bloc's workings. That source said, quote, "You can imagine how difficult it would be to get unanimity on that. It has never happened before," end quote. The Washington Post this month reported the existence of secret CIA jails in Eastern Europe. Campaign group Human Rights Watch named Poland, already an EU member, and Romania, which hopes to join in 2007, as the most likely hosts. Both deny it, a position reiterated on Monday by outgoing Polish President Aleksander Kwasniewski. He said, quote, "Such prisons do not exist on Polish territory, and there have not been any," end quote. Frattini, attending a security conference in Berlin, said a senior commission official raised the report with the White House and State Department on a visit to Washington last week, but U.S. officials asked for more time to respond. He said, quote, "Right now, unfortunately, we have no formal reassurances on that. They told us, give us the appropriate time to evaluate the situation," end quote. Asked about possible consequences for EU-U.S. relations, he said, quote, "Our attitude will depend on how long it will take for Washington to respond to the allegations." Again, that story is from Reuters and taken off Common Dreams News Center at commondreams.org. Next story also. Not also. This story is from the New Standard, written by Brendan Coyne. You can find it at newstandardnews.net. Group seeks stay on Internet wiretap implementation. This is dated today, November 29th. Groups working to restrict federal law enforcement agencies' access to personal information asked the Federal Communications Commission last week to hold off on a recent decision requiring Internet providers to open their systems to easier government wiretapping. The motion, filed by the Electric Frontier Foundation, or EFF, Center for Democracy and Technology, or CDT, and several library and Internet industry groups last Wednesday, asked the FCC to delay implementing a September decision officially extending the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act to both broadband Internet and voice over phone companies. The FCC decision would require companies to fully comply with the expanded regulations by 2007. Shortly after the ruling, the CDT and the EFF filed a joint lawsuit asking a district court in Washington, D.C. to strike down the commission decision. In a statement announcing last week's motion, EFF attorney Lee Tien charged that the FCC, quote, "plainly overreached their authority in requiring Internet providers to design systems to make surveillance of the public easier. No one knows what the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act compliance means on the Internet. The commission refused to say. The FBI has been playing coy, and the rest of us just don't know," end quote. Enacted in 1994, CALEA, that act, forces communications companies to make their networks easily accessible to law enforcement companies or agencies. The FCC's expansion of the regulations was first approved in a reinterpretation announced in August, prompting concern from privacy advocates and consumer groups worried over rising prices. Joining EFF and CDT in the request are the American Library Association, Association of College and Research Libraries, Association of Research Libraries, Electric Privacy Information Center, Champaign-Urbana Community Wireless Network, and several companies. Be thankful I didn't read any more of the acronyms that were in this piece. That, again, was from the News Standard at newstandardnews.net. And finally, back to Common Dreams, the progressive newswire at commondreams.org. This is a news release from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. For more information, you can contact Naomi Seligman at 202-588-5565. Crew files IRS complaint against James Dobson's Focus on the Family, dated yesterday, November 28th. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CRU, today filed an Internal Revenue Service's complaint against Focus on the Family, a conservative nonprofit organization led by its founder and chairman, James C. Dobson. The complaint asks for the IRS to investigate activities by the group, which may violate IRS regulations and require a revocation of its tax-exempt status. Although barred from electioneering, Mr. Dobson has endorsed candidates for political office several times. In early April 2004, Mr. Dobson endorsed Republican Representative Patrick J. Toomey in his race for Senate in Pennsylvania. In addition, it was reported that Mr. Dobson actively campaigned during a rally for Mr. Toomey. Other candidates that Mr. Dobson reportedly endorsed in 2004 include North Carolina Republican candidate Pat Ballantyne for governor and Oklahoma Republican candidate Tom Coburn for Senate. Melanie Sloan, executive director of CRU, said today, quote, "Mr. Dobson's egregious violations of IRS code demand an investigation into his improper activities that break both the spirit and the letter of IRS law," end quote. Recently, the IRS has actively pursued investigations against several perceived liberal groups. The IRS targeted the NAACP's chairman, Julian Bond, for a July 2004 speech in which he criticized the Bush administration's policy on civil rights and the war in Iraq. Additionally, the IRS has threatened to revoke the tax-exempt status of All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena, California, because of an anti-war sermon there during the 2004 presidential election. In his sermon, quote, "If Jesus debated Senator Kerry and President Bush," end quote, the rector emeritus of the church, George Regas, never encouraged parishioners to vote for one candidate over another, but only to vote their deepest values. Sloan continued, quote, "The IRS has established a track record of scrutinizing organizations, in particular liberal ones, that have purportedly violated electioneering regulations. We hope that the IRS will fully investigate Focus on the Family activities as vigorously as it has targeted those of progressive organizations, end quote. Crewe has sent copies of the complaint to Senators Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, and Max Baucus, Democrat of Montana, in their roles as chair and ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee. The IRS complaint is available at www.citizensforethics.org. Again, you can contact Crewe at 202-588-5565. This has been In the News for November 29, 2005. I'm Scott Bergwin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove. Talk to you next time.